Batter our hearts, three-personed God, for you as yet but knock, breathe, shine, and seek to mend, that we may rise and stand. Oh, overthrow us and bend your force to break, blow, burn, and make us new. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So has anyone ever thought something about you that was not true? Which is also called a lie. You know, put that together. A positive version of this is one that always sticks with me in a funny way. When the town that I lived in outside of Pittsburgh, there was another Todd. He was the owner of a competitive fitness gym, and he himself was a competitive fitness athlete. And one of my youth group kids thought that I was this Todd. And so we were talking one day, and he said, "Todd, didn't you make it to nationals a few years ago?" And I said, "Yes, Luke. Yes, I did. I'm a national competitive athlete." It was a confusion that I was okay with, that I honestly don't remember if I said it straight. I just kind of, he was also one of those kids that you're just like, all right, man, you just roll. Anyway, so this is a confusion about persons, right? And this confusion about persons extends, I might guess, to God as well, right? And so I wonder if we in here today, if we out in the world, if what comes at us, what we understand or perceive, might be a bit confused about who God is. You know, there's a deep entrenchment in our kind of modern thought, which we can't escape. We're all in that mix. Deep entrenchment against saying anything definitive about anything, really, but especially about God. There are a lot of confused conclusions, even the conclusion that we're not allowed to conclude anything. And so my kind of rhetorical launch point for us, just to reflect for a moment, is do we really just have to guess what God is like? Do we really just have to guess? Is the burden really on us to decide who or what God is like, or who God, what God does, or what he says? Is the burden really on us to decide what God is like? My proposal to us is that this is an impossible and crushing burden. And my offer to us through Christ is a relief and a comfort to our anxious modern selves, to persuade us that it is a reasonable conclusion that if there is such a being as a first cause or a spirit or God, then this being is not something or someone that we define or we decide upon, but who defines us and decides upon us and defines all things, in fact. In terms of knowing God, God gets the primary and defining say in the matter. I think that is a reasonable conclusion. I think it's the offer of the gospel in one broad sense of it. Trinity Sunday is the celebration and remembrance that God has, in fact, spoken and is speaking. That God has and is revealing himself to us. That we're not guessing, that we're actually doing the scientific work of observing what God has done and said in the world. That even if God is ultimately a mystery, God is a mystery to be explored and enjoyed for infinite ages and ages. That's actually the ultimate invitation of the gospel. That God has manifested his mystery of his persons and his work such that we can know God, walk with God, enjoy God now and forever. And so what I want to do just for a few minutes is we're going to just walk through each of our scripture readings. I'm going to pull out a few observations about God from these texts. And so beginning in our Genesis reading. If you're flipping along, Genesis 1, these are our first words in the Bible. Many things could be observed here, but let's just observe three. First, God is before everything else. No one made God. God simply is. The only uncreated one, distinct from creation. The one who is present to creation from the outside of creation. Alpha and Omega, beginning and end, and sustainer all the way through. And this relationship with creation is our second observation. So God is before all things, and God has a relationship with all creation. Not as an equal. Not as an equal. That God is present to creation as creator. Fountain, spring, source, origin. The eternal benefactor of whom we are all, ever, always, the beneficiaries. Involved in every atom and beauty, the one speaking creation into existence. This is what we see in Genesis. God said, let there be light, and there was light. God said, God said, God said, God said, God said, and it was so. Creator, author, architect, poet, like John Donne, if you caught the prayer at the beginning, if you're familiar with any poetry there. God is not a tribal God or a God of one people or one nation, but the true God of all things. Not a God of a particular human development age, whether in personal age or in age of human history. The God of ages upon ages, not just the God of religion, but the God of reality. Declaring and defining all things. This is the God who is before all, the one who has a relationship as a creator of all. And lastly, what we observe here, what I want to draw out for us to observe in Genesis, is that God is the one with all power and goodness. That God made a good creation out of nothing. This is the fun phrase, ex nihilo, the Latin phrase loved by theologians and youth group kids like the ones that I go on walks with. It did for a while become a thing when we taught on creation, like one time, and I used the phrase ex nihilo. It'd be like, Todd, ex nihilo. You're like, that's not what that means. That's, you don't know what you're talking about. Anyway, but I'm glad you know this Latin phrase now. That's great. God is the only one who brings into existence the things that do not exist. And this power is not just for creating, but also for raising. God is also the one who raises the dead. God's not only creator, he is redeemer of all, working in the sin and death of our human story to bring about new creation life. This brings us to our gospel reading. So you can flip over to Matthew 28 if you're flipping along with us. Having been crucified for sin, the risen Christ is with his disciples here in Matthew 28, the very last words. So we're just looking at the first words of Genesis. Now we're looking at the last words of Matthew 28. And Jesus is not just with them, but he is being worshipped by them. And he's giving them instructions on how they are to be his working witnesses in the world. And so just a few observations for us. First, Jesus is being worshipped. It's one of those massively subtle statements, just like God being present at the beginning of scriptures. Jesus here at the end of Matthew's gospel is worshipped. Here is a deepening of the mystery of God's personhood to us. In Christ, the mystery of God made flesh, the Creator has bound himself to his creation to put away sin and curse and death forever, to make our problem his problem and to deal with it permanently. And this deepening of the mystery of God revealed in the person and work of Christ isn't just about how God works, right? So it's not just that God is Creator and that also that God raises the dead. But it reveals something about God's person to us, that God is a communion of persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus commands his disciples to make disciples by baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The name of our three-personed God is now the family name by which followers of Christ are baptized, are included in the household of God. It's a name that we are taught to love and abide in through all the teaching of Jesus. All those receiving the forgiveness of sins, resurrection of life through Christ, come to the Father through the Son by the Holy Spirit. Living in the family of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, followers of Jesus, baptized into Christ, are participants in the divine mystery of God. And then we are learning to walk with God and to worship this three-person God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This sharing in the community of God and God's work in the world, his mission in the world, is what brings us to our New Testament lesson, 2 Corinthians. Flip around. Flip down a little bit further. 2 Corinthians, we are in the last words of the book of 2 Corinthians. So first words of Genesis, last words of Matthew 28. Last words of 2 Corinthians. And the Apostle Paul is inviting believers to reflect on their union to God. Christ in them. Is not Christ in you? And then he concludes with this three-person blessing of communion with God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And so being included into Christ, baptized and believing in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is to be a partaker then of this divine mystery, to be included in the blessing of God himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to share in the overflowing blessing of God. All the grace of God in Christ, all the love of God in the Father, all the presence of God in the Holy Spirit. No diminishing of blessing for any person, but a full inclusion in the fullness of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it's that blessing that compels the mission of the church. It empowers us, Christ with us, unto the ages to fulfill his great commission. But it's also the blessing that brings us to the destiny of God's people and all things. It compels us to praise. When we are blessed in all the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, in all the love of God, in all the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the only response is praise. And this praise is where our psalm takes us. So we're finishing up here in the psalm. A true knowledge of God through Christ, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, sweeps us along, draws us up into the fullness of the praise of God. Psalm 150, this final psalm, is the emphatic exclamation point on the end of the songbook of God's people. So for 149 songs, the Psalms have been tracing through the knowledge of God and creation and his rescuing mercy and then all the way to new creation life and praising God with all creation. It is the exclamation point. It is the destiny of all things expressed here in Psalm 150. Let all that has breath praise the Lord. This is what it is to be included in the mission of God and all the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is then to praise God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is one of the great joys of singing the doxology in our liturgy every week. It brings us to the heights of our destiny of humanity as we share in the communion of God's table in God's presence with him. And today we get to include two more persons into the glory of our three-person God. to baptize Atlee and Izzy in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, that we get to, as a communion of saints, sharing in the blessing of God and all the grace of Christ, all the love of the Father, all the presence of the Holy Spirit, say, welcome to the family. This is what it's like to be in communion with God. And so as we move through this liturgy, I would invite you to consider it as a renewal for your own baptism. Just as those who are married, when you go to a wedding, is an opportunity to reflect on your marriage and renew your marriage, so in baptism, we renew what it is to grow in the knowledge of this three-person God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to leave behind our old selves and to be clothed into Christ, to welcome Atlee and Izzy into the fullness of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Out of confusion and chaos of this world and into a true knowledge of God that isn't just like an arrogant know the doctrines, but join us in the joyful praise of the mystery of God that we're going to explore and enjoy for ages and ages. Atlee and Izzy, that is what you're in for. That's what we're welcoming you into today. And we are excited and honored. So let's pray as we continue in our liturgy from here. Father, thank you so much that you have not left us guessing, that the burden of conclusions is not upon us, that you are the one who is revealing yourself, that you are the mystery made known in Christ, that you are a merciful God, a gracious God, a loving God, a rescuing God. And we are grateful to be included into your grace and into all your praise, and we're grateful to now move into prayer and praise as we welcome Atlee and Izzy through the sacrament of holy baptism. And so please bless us in the remainder of the service. Please pour out your Holy Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.